A Biblical Perspective on Appointing Judges. That's the title, that's the topic of today's Daily Dose. Well, the Judicial Committee of the U.S. Senate's holding hearings right now on appointing a new Supreme Court justice. They're asking questions, they're trying to figure out what directs this nominee in her judicial decisions. Some are wanting this nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson. They want her to sail through the process to be confirmed, simply because of her gender and the color of her skin. Others want her confirmed because of her stance on cultural issues. They want her to legislate progressive ideals from the bench. But what does God say about all this? What does God care about when selecting a judge? Well, we can look to the Bible for this answer. Specifically, in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we have a biblical example of how to choose judges for a nation. It's not a popularity contest. It's not affirmative action. It's not political. Rather, we will see that it's so much more. Check out what the Bible lifts up as a model for choosing judges. 2 Chronicles 19 says this, "He," meaning King Jehoshaphat, "he appointed judges in the land in all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. He said to the judges, 'Consider what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you when you render judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do. For the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness or partiality or the taking of a bribe." 2 Chronicles 19, verses 5 through 7. So, look, when we look at this passage, I see three very important aspects, qualifications, if you will, that we must see in a judge. Three important qualifications if someone wants to be considered for the role of a judge. Number one is this: they must understand that they do not judge for man, but for the Lord when they render their judgment. This means that the judge can't be swayed by the opinions of man, by political agendas or by political parties. They can't be beholden in any way to any kind of humanistic ideology. And it also means that the person must have a clear understanding of what the Lord thinks and what He says on matters. See, how can a judge judge for the Lord if they don't know what God says, if they don't consult His word and His law? Number two, the second qualification or characteristic to be considered a judge based on 2 Chronicles 19 here is that they must fear the Lord. After all, it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of all wisdom, and judging requires a whole lot of godly wisdom. Furthermore, look, if you're not motivated 100% by the fear of the Lord, then you will be motivated by the fear of man, because we all serve someone. Number three, third qualification based on 2 Chronicles 19 here for a judge: they must have no part in unrighteousness, meaning they must have a record of judging rightly, not favoring sin, but upholding godliness and holiness. What this tells me is that there are some pretty clear litmus tests that we should be giving anyone who is being considered to be a judge. Here's one of those litmus tests. I'm just going to say it. If someone is pro-abortion, which is an abomination before the Lord, it's the taking of human life that God is knitting together in their mother's womb. If someone is pro-abortion, then they, based on Scripture here, they're disqualified from being a judge because they take part in unrighteousness. And not only take part in it, they empower it, they facilitate it, they condone it. I want to continue before we finish off here in 2 Chronicles 19. Let's go to verse 8. It says this: "In Jerusalem also Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, and head of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord and to settle disputes. And they lived in Jerusalem. He gave them these orders: 'You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly,'" here it is again, "'in the fear of the Lord.'" Verse 10, in every case that comes before you from your people who live in the cities, whether bloodshed or other concerns of the law, commands, decrees, or regulations, you are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, his wrath will come on you and your people, the whole nation, right? Do this and you will not sin. Wow. This is no small thing. Who we choose, who we have in that role of judge or justice in our nation, it matters greatly. It affects all of us. And so it's actually, here Scripture is saying, it's actually the role of the judge to warn the people to not sin against the Lord. I mean, is this even being discussed right now in these Senate hearings? I haven't heard any of this being brought up yet. This is what Scripture highlights. This is what God highlights as what's important when selecting judges. Lord, help us, please. Forgive us for our arrogance and our ignorance and just looking to ourselves instead of to you during this important time of selecting a judge. God, may our leaders rise up, turn to you, fear you, and look to you at this time. I want to go back, though, to this candidate. Ketanji Brown Jackson. I would argue, and I do this humbly, but I argue that she is lacking in all of these biblical qualifications at varying degrees and levels, okay? She shows great signs. You can listen to her. You can read what she's written and how she's judged. Great signs of being beholden to man, specifically left-wing ideologues and to progressive anti-Christ, anti-biblical ideologies like critical race theory. But the greatest failure that I am seeing come out very clearly is her ongoing support and the decisions she's made sitting behind the bench as a judge to support unrighteousness, like abortion. She called it the settled law of the land. She has sided time and time again in her rulings with the practice of abortion and with abortion providers, while at the same time, her decisions have shut down godliness such as prayer in schools and on university campuses. So look, I pray that our nation, that our leaders, that the Senate will have eyes wide open, will have the fear of the Lord, and that we wouldn't settle for any person who is in opposition to biblical qualifications of being a judge over our land. It would be dangerous. It would be offensive to the Lord as well. And one final thing, as in all things, we, you and myself, we must all have a biblical perspective when we're living life, when we're doing life in every area of our lives. My question to you now is, are you approaching every area of your life from a biblical perspective? Are you living out every area of your life like God has called you to? Why don't you do a little examination? And in the meantime, pray for our nation, pray for the Senate Judiciary Committee, pray for God's grace and mercy to fall on us. God bless.